The Lord took the penalty of sin for me. All right, enjoy that song. Brother Deutsch, you're going to enjoy the pulpit tonight. And notice you brought a folder. So someone fixed our pulpit yesterday, so it now can contain a folder. We're not hemmed in anymore. No more sides. It's nice. I enjoyed preaching off of it this morning. Anyway, but it's good to have Deutsch, as always, with us, faithful. Appreciate him, love him and his wife, family. What a blessing they are. And Brother Deutsch, come on, preach to us.
Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the end of October. We, as the staff goes and the as Heritage is, this is one of the busiest months of the whole year. The staff and everybody works hard, and the congregation works hard to get everything done. And I'm going to talk tonight about work and about what we do and why we work. When we get saved, if it was just a matter of being saved, God should just take us away. If we were to save and just to head to heaven, God would hit us, get saved, and we're gone. So why do we stay? Why are we here? Why do we stay upon this earth? Of all the pain and suffering, why are we still here? God allows us to work. God allows us to move in this world. And He allows us to do that, not for the fact that He could not do it on His own, but He gives us that opportunity. With the election coming up next week, where I asked to, be the deputy director of Texas. Ooh, that'd be a huge privilege. I'd jump up all over that, quit my job, and because the government would allow me to do something like that. And God in heaven, the creator of the universe, has asked us to do work. And we're going to talk about that tonight. What's our focus? Why do we work? I could put four, I've got four words here that I can make fictitious missionaries out there. One who's super competitive, who goes out there and must win and must go ahead and must succeed, and he will not let anybody behind him. He will always win at no matter what. But that would be his motivation. For he would drive what he does. It may seem successful, but that's not what God has left us here to do. You can seek someone who seeks vainglory and applause and just people staring at him, just the love of glory. But that's not it. That's not what Christ has put us there. I knew one person that entrepreneurial spirit just drove them everywhere. They wanted to create something big. They wanted to create something large. They wanted to do this and do that and put their fingerprint there and there and there and look over at their vast empire, what they have done. But it wasn't for the Lord. Paul's discourse here in 2 Corinthians is on Christian labor. Of what motivates you, what moves you. I think of, there's a college, Penn State, that for a while there they had an athletic program. And as everybody saw the emails, they're motivated. Now, while on their website, I'm sure that they were talking about having a scholastic athletes and all these kind of things. It was just, they just wanted a big famous name. And they didn't care what. That was their motivation. So we're going to look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that we, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to he that hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he hath died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the privilege to be able to preach here, Lord. I thank you so much for the opportunity, and I ask you to let the Holy Spirit speak through me, Lord. Let your word and your truth be evident and shown forth, Lord. In your Son's holy and precious name, Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Crawford. Thank you for allowing me the privilege and the honor to preach here. And I really do consider that an honor and privilege to be here. There's nothing like preaching in front of the people, you know, in church, in front of your church family. So I just want to say thank you to Pastor Crawford and thank you for y'all. Now, what moves us? What motivates us? What gets us going? There was a man in when I was going to school that got saved well into his years in Christian school. Now, he was like the fourth year in his Bible school, then he got saved. And it's always curious, what was motivating before then? He didn't know the Lord, he was not saved, yet he did all the things he was supposed to do. He showed up and did this, he got good grades here, he did those things, but that was the wrong motivation in his heart. He was going out there to please something. It wasn't the Lord. You see in 2 Corinthians verse 6, it says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent for the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. One of the reasons why we labor is for our location. The Lord is our aim and our destination. That is our goal. That is where we're going. That is where we're headed. This is not our home. Now, you say that, and it can get almost platitudinal at times, where it just so becomes an easy statement that this is not our home, heaven. But this is not our home. We walk together, we strive together, we enjoy each other's company. But if you look out in the world and you see the world, you know that this isn't it. As you see a small child, their desire is, I just want to go home. When a little bitty kid is just upset and just, I want to go home. And that's how we are as Christians. At times you get through this world and you just say to yourself, I just want to go home. And that's where our desire is. We are not here. We are absent from our Lord. While we may have the unction, the earnestness, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, we are absent from the Lord. Though we see things with our eyes, we haven't placed them on the Lord. Though we've held things, we haven't put them in front of God. We have not been in His presence. We are still retained within this body that holds us here. It is our faith, and we have faith that we'll be there, our absolute and utter faith in that. I'm an engineer. I can tell you how bungee cords work. I can do the math. I can tell you how much weight it can take, what kind of a stretch it will do, and I can show you on paper it will not fail. I will never jump on a bungee cord. I have absolutely no faith in a big rubber band. And our faith in Christ is not just head knowledge. It's not just possession of this Bible. Well, yeah, that, It's a faith that we have in Jesus Christ. If I'm broke, and I'm close to it, but if I'm broke and everything goes horrible, I mean, everything goes horrible, I have faith that Christ is still there. It's never a point where I shake my fist at God. God is simply trying me. For I know that being absent from Him and present in this world, I'm not in my home. For when I get home, I don't have to worry about those things. 1 Peter says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold and then perishes, though be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of joy, receiving the ends of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is Peter talking to us. The man who walked on water to see Jesus is telling us how wonderful this faith is that we have when we don't see Christ. Another reason why we labor is it's for what we're confident in. In verse 8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and be present from the Lord. By this faith we hold, we know this world does not hold us. Our place is with Him, and when we are saved, our residence resides within Him. It's not, we have no fear to leave this world. I always think of the Caiaphas. when he was robbed the first time, he says, what are you going to do? Threaten me with heaven. It's not fear of this world. It's we are willing to be gone. In Sunday school, I'm always using the example, if an asteroid comes through the ceiling and kills me, I'm good. To be absent with the body and present from the Lord. That's just such a joyous thought. And we should not have fear of that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. While we on this earth, we have a desire to see the Lord, but we labor here for Him. And Paul says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. His desire was to be in heaven, but he would stay. We all have tethers to this world. We all have things that hold us here. There's a couple of them right there in the second row right there. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my family. I love my church. And those things hold. There's a guy I know at work that's being diagnosed with cancer. And I absolutely know that he's lost. I've witnessed to him three times. And every time, nope. It breaks my heart the one time to think that if I get to heaven, then he's not going to ever be there. And so those are the things that hold us to this earth. Those are those anchors that weigh us down. Not whether or not I become deputy director of the world. Who cares? Who cares whether or not I got a Ferrari, whatever? These things hold us. These things of heaven that hold us. Another reason why we labor is for His work. Verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. When I was a child, my dad worked on a 1941 Ford pickup truck, and he would ask me to come out there and help him. He did not need me and my first grade self to come out there and help him. So I would get that and do this, and I wanted to just look good. Well, absolutely, Daddy, I'll do that. I wanted to present myself that I had done something good for my father, that I had worked for him. He didn't need it. When God asks us to do something, He does not need me. He doesn't pace back and forth and saying, I hope, Joyce. He lets me into His work. Can you imagine that? More so than the present, more so than the kings, the Creator of the universe has come down and said, Joyce, you can do that. And the Holy Spirit comes with us and lets us move within that path so we can be acceptable unto Him. Not so I can get a great banner behind me, it's Joyce. And I'm coming. Nothing like that. But it's for that I'm acceptable for the Lord. That when I present myself to Him, that I have done a good job. Just like I was a kid when I was turning that screwdriver. Daddy, did I do a good job? And when I stand before God in heaven, Abba, Father, have I done a good job? And that my desire is to please Him. In verse 10, another reason why, for He will judge. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body, according to that He has done, whether it be for good or bad. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest in God. And I trust also are made manifest into your consciences. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, everyone that may receive the things done in this body according to He has done, whether good or bad. The lost, as we know, will face the white throne judgment of God. They will stand there and their sins will be weighed and their sins will be judged. And if they have not accepted Jesus Christ, they will burn in hell. Now, it sounds harsh and it sounds mean for all the sweet people who aren't saved, like my friend. He seems very nice. But standing next to the holiness of God, placed next to the holiness of God, it will be obvious that they shouldn't go to hell. There's never a thought of it. There would never be a thought in heaven. Well, why Him, Lord? Because we will be in the presence of God. There will never be this comparison of my great Aunt Millie to God. But she was sweet because she is next to God. God is holy in all things. And for those who do not accept Christ, those who do not receive the salvation which is so easily available, there to be offered, they will burn. That is the lost. Now we're saved, so it's all peachy keen, right? We will stand before Jesus for our works. Now, to some people that seems to sort of lose the without the fear of hell, that sort of seems to lose its fear. I am terrified of that day to stand before Jesus Christ. Every second of my life will come to account. 10 minutes ago, 10 years ago, everything that I have done will be there before Christ, who burned for it, who suffered for each and every single thing that I did, even those things I did not do that I should have done. And that worries me. I was coming home one day. I was driving home, and these five kids were out around the car. They had a flat tire. Well, I should get them a flat. I should help them and witness to them is what I should do. But we had company, so well, I'll do that. We'll go home right after I eat. Right after I eat, I'll go live there and I'll do that. Well, then after I ate, and then finally the guilt got a hold of me, and I went up there, and they were gone. Now, generally, I don't get this huge burden for when I'm driving by teenagers to go and witness to them. That normally doesn't carry to me. But it did here. But I didn't. And one day, I'm going to stand in front of Jesus Christ and talk about and see that moment in my life. And know the terror of the Lord. To see Him, that will just burn away. That section of my life will be gone. What I could have done good for God. When my father says, will you turn that screw? Will you turn this wrench? No, I don't think so, Dad. I'm going to head back inside and have some Cheerios. Because, you know, I rank a little bit higher than what you do right now. Because God asks us to do these things. God allows us within His path and His journey to go and do these things. And we will present this life which He has purchased. He has bought this thing. He has given Himself for us, that while we're on this earth, that we will labor for Him. And it says, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. You see that word suffer. You will lose something. Now I understand in the presence of the Lord we are saved, we are in salvation, but you are in the presence of the Lord. And the fact that we would suffer loss in front of God seems a heart-wrenching thing. We endeavor, every work that we do, every deed that we do, we should bring before the Lord. This is for the Lord. When I've mentioned those four personalities, people get lost in sort of who they are, what they need to do. You know, if I was so desirous of fame and fortune that I would get up there and preach eloquently, learn it, and desire to do all those things so that I could just be popular, so that I could appear and people, oh, it's Joyce coming. There's nothing about the Lord behind that. For our motivations are not for ourselves, but for the Lord. When it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There was a man by the name of John Knox, and at his funeral, it says, there lies a man who feared who never feared the face of any man. And his secret was that he was so afraid of the Lord, he wasn't afraid of anybody. His fear of God was so great that nobody would ever bother him. He would tell the queen what he thought was wrong. Sadly, at times, I let my fears override my fear of the Lord. Well, I don't want to really knock on that door because, well, it'll make them uncomfortable. Then I'll be uncomfortable, they'll be uncomfortable, we'll all be uncomfortable, and I'll come back. And that's where I give myself. And I give myself over to that thought as the devil whispers harder and harder in my ear not to do that. When it should be the fear of the Lord. Lord, I so want to please You. I want to do what You want me to do. So we must remember that our lives will be judged. They'll be measured when we get in front of heaven. When we stand before Jesus Christ, He will give us that measurement. I was on visitation one time speaking of that. I remember there was a girl one time who said, well, you're just kind of here to get us to join, right? You know, it threw me off, but I wish I could have answered her like I should have. Yes and no. No, in the sense that as long as you are in a church where you're serving the Lord, where you're pleasing the Lord, that's fine. Don't join. But in the sense that we come to you for two purposes. One, if you're not saved, we so want to see you saved. We want to see you come to the salvation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why we come together. We want to see you saved. We want to see you have that repentance. We want to see you, your life transformed. And if you are saved and you're not in church, why? What out there is so pulling you away from this church? Our desire isn't to have you in so our numbers can increase, but so you can be a part of the body of Christ. To turn someone away from the church in the Old Testament, written in the scriptures, is a horrible thing. Not to allow someone within those doors is a scary, horrible thing. Yet, that's on TV, so I'm going to hang on tonight. And when we go through this world, when we walk through this world, when we see this world, and we do this work that we do, know that it's there for the Lord. We're not trying to build up a church to build up a church. We're not trying to build up a church to build up an organization. We're trying to build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ. When Christ puts us all together, places us all together, we are here through His maneuverings, through His creation. It is His church. He places us all here so that we will bump and interact with one another. We're all parts together that I can do this and you can do that and he can do this and we can all do these things that we come together and we build ourselves up. We are better here today than we will be tomorrow for the fact that we will be apart. And we will go through Monday and we will go through Tuesday and Wednesday we'll come back and we'll be lifted a little bit. And then we'll go through Thursday and then Friday and then Saturday and then we come back on Sunday. Every week, reviving ourselves, bringing ourselves back to what because we had to suffer through that world. That world should not be the high point. Friday night's not the woo-hoo. Sunday's the high point. Coming together as a family, as a church body together, this is where we function. So when we see that, when we see our work, when we go through our work for the Lord, we have to remember that we're doing this for the Lord. Now, I was saved late in life, and I was very cynical before. I was saved young. The Lord didn't get a hold of me till late. So I came to church very much of a cynic. I didn't really trust anybody or anything, and when I stepped through the doors, I had a good dose of salt, whatever I heard. And I kind of thought the pastor just wanted me to do stuff, because, well, he needed stuff done. That's it. Well, I can't really do that, you know. And then you get the sense that the only reason why he's asking you to help is just because he needs help. Now, and that sounds true, but the only reason why we need help is for the fact that we want to grow the body of Christ. You know, if you want money, the ministry is not the place to go. If you want fame, this is not it. This is the working of Jesus Christ on this earth. The fact that we are in the church age is such a huge thing nowadays. And it's lost. It's almost like, you know, well, there's a church, this is the church. This church is huge. Elections are coming, and elections will go. And somebody will be elected, and somebody won't. And governments will come, and governments will fall. And they won't really affect anything. God will look at His people and see how He judges this nation. He will listen to us and watch us and see how we react to Him. And that's how our nation goes. We will get what we, more than likely, we will get what we vote for. We won't, you know, we'll vote for whoever we want. But as we work, as we labor, as we give ourselves over to God, as we give ourselves to His institution, which is the church, we got to remember that He's behind this. We're not trying to build something for ourselves, for some personal desire, for something that we think we need to do. We're doing it for the presence of God, for the love, for that lovely, lovely thought that He allows us to do those things. In verse 12, one of the things we don't do is not for pride, for we commend ourselves. We commend not ourselves unto you again, but give you the occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may know somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Paul gives himself to the church that he's not there to gain glory. He's not there for appearances. He's not there that he may commend himself. But they may give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that what they have done was for the Lord. People at this time were accusing Paul of trying to rise in personal preeminence. And they were attacking him. This is one of the reasons why he responded in this letter. And he's giving to them, we're not trying to gain the appearance of who we are or what we are. We give this that you may be glory on our behalf, that you may speak of Christ and what He's done through us. We preach Christ, but not to put our thumbprint so we can or quake the nation. We do this so we can please Christ. We make ourselves acceptable for the Lord. We give ourselves that we may please Him. We give ourselves that God will see this and say, that's a good thing. If somebody rejects the gospel after you give it, it's still a good thing that you've done. Even though they said no, even though that you don't have the number, even though nothing happened and you gave the gospel and you did it and you showed them that Christ died for their sins, that everything happened to them, everything that God has done for them, and they say, no. You did not fail. You did not. You did the right thing. And I don't care if you do it 1,000 times and everybody says no, you did the right thing. Because Christ died for them and you love them and want to give the gospel. And when you do that, you do the right thing. And that's one of those things we'll present before the Lord. In John 8 it says that He is with me and He that sent me is with me and the Father has not left me alone. And I do all these things that please Him. Christ came into this world and did those things that please the Father. We do these things that please Christ, to please God. We do these things to please God. And this later in this verse, it says, if we be beside ourselves, it is God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. When it says beside ourselves, it means they were insane. People said that they were crazy. And He says, if we're crazy, it's because we're overzealous for God. That's why if people see us and think that we're odd or different, it's because our zealousness, our desire is for God. It's for Him. So if we don't look normal, it's because of our love for the Lord. And if we appear in control, if we maintain ourselves and do that, it's for you. It's for so that we can reach you, so we can give ourselves to you. One of the when you start looking at the things that you do through the church, when you start looking at the things you do through the Lord, you start falling back to the love of God and doing to your neighbor. Everything seems to fall through those two doors. Everything seems to come back to loving God with all your heart, your mind, and soul and doing unto your neighbor. And that's what Paul's saying here. If I appear crazy, it's because I'm overzealous for the Lord. If I look like I'm just uncontrolled and I don't have that anymore, it's because I so desire for you. In verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they may which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died and rose again. Now you can look at that verse two ways. It is the love of Christ, our love for Christ. And that's a good way to go. Honestly, you can see that. I sort of look at it the other way, that it is His love for us which holds us. It is His love which moves us. If we love Him, we keep His commandments. And I fail all the time. But His love for us never, ever fails. The more we go, His love for us is always there. He died for us. If I'm going to witness to somebody, and I get the chance to witness to a murderer, it's very hard for me to love a murderer. It's very hard for me to witness to someone who hates me, who does not like me, but the Lord loves them. In this day and time that we live in, there's lots of things out there that I think are abhorrent, that the world accepts, but God still loves them. By that, the love of Christ constrains me, it holds me, it keeps me moving, rather than just saying, well, that's it. I'm done with it. You know, I'm a little too good for this nation, and I'm going to take my holy self and move away. It's not like that. Christ died for everybody. Christ came to this world in a horrible time and was able to and gave Himself to everybody. And it says here that the love of Christ constrains us. It holds us. It keeps us there. It keeps us going. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. If He died for one person, then if one died for all, then everybody was dead. Everybody before they have Christ is lost. And the love of Christ that we hold within us, that we carry within us, that motivates us, that moves us, is because everybody out there is dead. They may be sweet guys, they may be nice people, they may be friendly, successful, whatever have you, but they're still lost. And God knows they're lost. And He comes to us and He says, do you want to help me? Not for the fact that He can't do it. He created the known universe. He can do anything. He can blow your atoms apart, pull them back together before you can breathe. But God in heaven comes to us and says, would you like to help me? And that should blow us backwards. I got to go for you, Lord? Yes. I'll let you go. You knock on the door. You talk to your friends. But you're God. You could put a lightning bolt in the sky to spell out their names. But I love you. And you go. And I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Now, when you think of the Holy Spirit that we have with us, this is not the angry spirit. This is the comforter. It comes with us. And there's not a more soft, precious word that I can think of than the comforter. Whispering in our ears, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. There is where you need to go. And when we go and witness, and when God puts us on His path, it can be scary because the devil will come at us in every way possible. And the Holy Spirit is there whispering to us, it's okay. You can go a little bit more. It is our faith, like it said at the beginning, our faith in Jesus that motivates us and gets us there. And they may reject us, or they may not. It's a blessed time when someone says, yes, absolutely. I was able to lead one guy to the Lord, and you could tell the Holy Spirit was working so great that I wasn't doing anything. He wanted to be saved. That's what he wanted. Well, yes, I know that. And just, it was amazing. And even those who have rejected, it's been an easy path. You go through the way I was doing the Romans Road, you're going through it, and they were crying and they're everything, and then finally, no. And then they were done. But God allows us in that for the fact that He died for everyone. He died for this world, and He allows us to be within Him. That hence we should not live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. That we live unto Christ. We give our lives, we give our soul, we give everything. Our motivation should be for the Lord. Now, I don't speak well in front of people. It's nothing I'm desirous to do. Whether or not, you know, no one's going to... I'm more of a person to sit back in the corner. You know, the reason why I come up here is because I believe the Lord has led me to preach and do these things. And I want to do that to please the Lord. I want to do the best I possibly can so I can be pleasing to Him. That's what the Lord's done in my life. I don't know what the Lord has done in your life, but He has done something if you're saved. You do not get saved and then you stop. A lot of people, there's a lot of things in this world where they think that salvation, well, I got the Bible and I got the prayer, I'm going home. That's not it. God will absolutely move in your life. Without hesitation or equivocation, I can tell you that He will move in your life. You will feel something, whether or not it's witnessing to just your son, your father, your sister. If that's it, the Holy Spirit will there and have you work for Him. He will invite you into His work. He will motivate you to work for Him because our love of Christ, because the love of Christ constrain us so that we will do these things, so that we will do the things of the Lord. To be saved is the greatest thing on the face of this planet. There is nothing in my life that I can even compare. And God has saved me and has sent the Holy Spirit in me and moves through me. The Holy Spirit motivates me and gives me unction to do these things. And why we labor, why we go is our love of Christ. That's what our motivation should be. Never be of a sense of who we are and what we are and how great we are. Only in the presence of what we are to Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. I'm not great because I'm an ambassador, but it's because of Christ. And those are the things that motivates us. Those are the things that moves us. If you're not saved, He died for you. And I don't mean that He saved you in that sense, in the fact that He knew your name. He made you because He wanted one of you. And then He died for you because He wanted you. That you could if you haven't been saved, know that God is there. Christ died for your sins. That He was there and He gave Himself for you. Christian, when we move, when we do these things, when we go out, know that it's the Lord behind us. It's the Lord that moves us. Everybody may hate you, but it's the love of God that constrains us. It is the love of the Lord that moves us. Everybody may ridicule, may fun, may whatever. It doesn't matter. We present ourselves so that we may present ourselves before the Lord as acceptable. In just a second, Brother Tim and Miss Bert are going to come up and we're going to give an invitation. If you're not saved, respond today. There's nothing at all holding today. Everybody will rejoice. Everybody will be happy for that moment. And Christians, if the Holy Spirit's moving in you, come and bring it before the Lord. It's an easy thing. He gives us entrance into His kingdom. He allows us to be there. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day, Lord. We thank You so much for allowing Your truth, Lord. We thank You for Your Son, which died on the cross for us. I ask You to be with those, Lord, who are hearing Your message, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to their hearts, Lord. If there's anybody here that needs salvation, let them come forth, Lord, that we can show them from the Bible how to be saved. Lord, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to the Christian, let them come to present that which is in Your heart to them, Lord. We thank You for this, and we thank You for all Your blessings. In Your Son's holy and precious name, Christ, we pray.